nanohub.org.
Online simulation and more for nanotechnology.
Thanks for the Chair Sergeant Charles introduction. I would like to thank all the outstanding speakers come here to, for this very important symposium. I appreciate your time. I hope we're going to have two very excellent days to have very good discussion, brainstorming the future things. And the focus of my discussion today is actually we're looking for the opportunity of lasers for scalable manufacturing of solar cell devices. Before that, I want to just briefly mention about what is the history of photovoltaic devices. You know, this word is photo and voltaic. This word is actually coming from two Greek. And basically, the photo is actually is a light. You know, photon, light is actually photonic particles. The voltaic is actually electric powers. So they convert the photo to electrical power. So this effect was invented was discovered in 1839 by a French scientist. And 50 years later, the first photovoltaic cells is built by Charles Fritz. And, but that time the efficiency was only about 1%. And Albert Einstein discovered the physics of the photovoltaic effect. And then based on that, he won the Nobel Prize in 1921. And the modern photovoltaic cells was developed in 1954 at Bell Labs. The cost was pretty high. You know, in that time, the 1 watt of electrical power in the bright sunlight cost about $250. But, at that time, it's pretty cheap. For the cold plant, it's only $2 to $3 per watt. So, people want to, reduce the price. And, 20 years later, during the first 10 or 15 years, nothing happened. People still, the cost of the photovoltaic device is pretty high. And then this guy, Berman, he had some pretty good ideas to reduce the cost. And then basically, after 10 years of work, he reduced the price of the photovoltaic device by significantly 20 times lower to about $10 per watt. And he sell this device is probably for $20 per watt. So he makes some money. Cause of nowadays, people want to reduce the price down to $1 per watt. So the whole wholesale price, it's pretty much doubled. So the balance, and also it's not the cost of the photovoltaic device is not just to produce the device. You also want to worry about the installation of the panels. So normally, people nowadays, in the large areas of photovoltaic device, costs below $3.40 a watt. The target of the DOE is actually in the next 20 years, they want to reduce the cost of the solar cell panels to about $0.50 per watt on large panels, including the installation. So that's really challenging. So we need to actually reduce the cost by half. So before I talk about the manufacturing process of the solar cell, let's just briefly discuss the physics of a solar cell. So physics of solar cell, when it's basically a conversion of the light, photonic particles and the electrical signal. So photons, it's very good things can carry the energy and also information through the space. Photon is actually very, can deliver a lot of many good things. And in this talk, we're going to covering the, how photons is converted to electrons. So electrons are not easy to transmit through the surface. And then, however, we have a very good way to control the electrons. So because a lot of semiconductor materials, we have a very good, process to make them. So, so electrical property is important, for this study. So imaging system and solar cells and information network are needed to, mediate in between the photons and electrons. But, getting the particles into interact with each other can be a challenge. So in this talk is actually basically, we want to develop this, find out what are the challenge of making the efficiency of the photon to electrons to, to maximize this and then generate more electrical power. So when this photonic particle is actually interact with semiconductor materials, and several things could happen. So the light could be, first of all, light could be refracted. And if the wavelength of the light is less than the band gap of the semiconductor materials, they're gonna be, they just basically transmitted, you know, without any absorption. When the laser light is actually, the photonic particles, energy is actually, higher than the band gap, then the materials, the electrons, most of the, phonons, most of the electrons in the covalence band is gonna be, pumped into the conduction band. Right? So, this conduction band, because you have a p-n junction here, so, this p-n junction is gonna remove the, holes and the phonons, the couple of holes and phonons, electrons in different directions. Then, when you build up this, concentration of the holes and the electrons, you build up the voltage. And basically after that, you're gonna have to build some electrical, metal contact to connect the electrical powers to, for example, to light up these lamps. So that's the principle. Based on this principle, there's a lot of type of semiconductor devices, based on solid cell, including the p-n junctions and hetero junctions and PIP junctions and NIP junctions and also multi junctions. Okay, so next I want to basically discuss the, there's a lot of, the photovoltaic device has been developed, since 1980s. But principally, they can be divided into two types, most likely, one of the types is actually crystalline silicon. When you have a phonon photonic particles, it's actually this, hits the silicon. Silicon is gonna have the top and the bottom surface could be, if you have a p-type, the silicon, as we discussed, you have to form NP junctions. The top of the silicon, crystalline silicon is actually doped with this kind of N-type materials. And, so when you form an electron, couple of electrons and holes, the electrons is gonna go up and then four holes is gonna go down. So after that, you basically collect the, electro potential. And then, first of all, in order to build this kind of device, you see this couple of layers, you have to make a very high quality of silicon wafers, and you have to dope the silicon wafer, top of the silicon wafers with, N-typed. The whole silicon is actually P-typed materials. So first of all, you have to make the purified silicon, just like all the, this kind of, silicon wafer is made, they have to make a silicon, wafers. This cost is pretty high to make a silicon wafer. And also recently, people will come up with a different kind of idea. For example, heat the bulk silicon to high temperature and then let it solidify. And then that's a much cheaper way, but you cannot get a single crystal. And recently, people use a roll-to-roll process to just squeeze the melting of silicon to squeeze them into very thin sheets. So this is actually a so-called rubber silicon. So the monocrystalline silicon, polycrystalline, and rubber silicon. These three type of silicon, single crystal of solid cell device. And you have to, use some sort of doping process to make it N-type or P-type the device. And after that, you're gonna have to, because a lot of light is gonna be, refracted. So, silicon is pretty shiny surface. So, you have to make some sort of, anti-refractive coating to actually let light redirected onto the absorbing materials, the P-type the materials. And after that, you see this kind of, if you want to make a mechanical, metal contact, you have to make, we have to drill really deep holes, because if you don't drill really deep holes, then if you just deposit some mechanical materials, you actually block the sunshine, right? So you have to make this, grooving process as deep as possible, basically, to deliver the energy to the external world. After that, you opt encapsulating the cells. Manufacturing of the thin film solar cells is actually different mechanism. So basically you want to make a heterojunction kind of device or PIN structures and NIP type of structures. You know, depends on, you know, because sometimes people worry about, you know, electrons, the N type of the materials, they have a very high electrical carrier mobility. So they want to put, N type of the materials to face in the sunshine. So this depends on the structure. So typically when you talk about thin film solar cells, the purpose of why people want to develop thin film solar cells is actually they want to lower the cost. I mean, the cost per the dollar per watt has to be reduced. If you talk about silicon solar cells, you're talking about $5 per watt. So how are you going to reduce that? People, you know, basically people find, okay, amorphous type of silicon that and also the thin film crystalline type of the silicon materials, the thickness of the thin film could be reduced to be 2 micron or even lower. So you save a lot of materials. And also amorphous type of silicon, you can deposit onto the target with fairly low cost. I mean, you can deposit at room temperature. Deposition process is much cheaper than to make a silicon wafer. And also this kind of, carbon tellurite and CIGS, people making, I just mentioned, you know, PIN and NPI junction is just for the amorphous type because they are, you're gonna have to put N type of materials in between them because the electrons and holes, they're gonna recombine very, very, very too soon. So you have to separate them once you generate this dipole. However, for other materials like cadmium telluride and CIGS, for this type of materials, people people make a heterojunction type of semiconductor devices. But recombination of the electrons and the holes is still a big problem. So basically, so that's the structure you want to make. So then that's just to talk about what kind of structure is that. So you have different kind of substrate. On top of substrate, you deposit the metallic layer, and then you deposit the P or N type of the, of solvent layer. On top of that, you deposit, N type of the layers. And on top of that, you have to deposit the transparent conductive layer. So that's the whole structure. Well, people want to do the first layer is metal deposition. The next few layers is actually you want to deposit p-type the absorbent layers by the CVD process to deposit amorphous silicon, sputtering process or cold evaporation deposit this kind of alloys type of system. And also you can use the same process to deposit the other layers intrinsic or untyped layers. And also on top of that, you want to use the same kind of semiconductor fabrication process, deposition process to deposit transparent conductive layer. So this is actually the traditional type of manufacturing process. People make thin film solar cells. So let's talk about the two things. One is efficiency. The other thing is cost. So what's going to affect the efficiency of solar cells? So efficiency of solar cells may be, as we discussed before, you have to generate a couple of electrons and holes, right? So you have to let the electrons and the holes to transmit different layers to different through the thickness to once you form a p-n junctions, you have to let the electrons to go to the mechanical contact, right? So it's like I'm the electrons, I have to swim in this far away to go to the target. So that's not very easy. In between them, there's a lot of things could happen. So there's a lot of defect grain boundaries to happen to I cannot swim in there. So there's a few things I want to mention. First of all, I think how people decide the efficiency, one of the things is actually thermodynamic efficiency. Thermodynamic efficiency is because it's actually decided by the photons, the temperature of the photon coming from the sunshine. I mean, it has a limit. Theoretically, you know, the efficiency of a solar cell is actually at maximum is actually if 100 power is absorbed, but only 83% of the light is actually could be converted. So that's actually decided by the temperature of the photons coming from the sun. So the second one is actually refractant efficiencies. So when light is actually hitting on the surface, some of the light is going to be bouncing back. And also there's a carrier, charge carrier separation efficiency. So when you have phonons, they're going to be triggered a couple of electrons and holes. So not, how the percentage of phonons, the percentage of this of this pair is not 100%. So there's a certain percentage. Another thing is actually conductive efficiency. So when I have electrons, so the electrons that's going to the metal contact, they're going to have a lot of electro resistance. So all of this efficiency, you multiply them, then you're going to get the final efficiency. So this is, but we cannot, measure them, one by one. So normally people want to do, measure some sort of things than people, human beings can see, right? So there's certain things we can, we can decide, like a quantum, integrated quantum efficiency, and it's basically decided by the carrier, mobility and then the carrier concentrations, right? And also one of the things people, want to get is actually open circuit voltage and then short circuit voltage. Actually, when the, current is equal to zero, you measure the, voltage, and then the, when the voltage is equal to zero, you short it, then you got a, current. So you kind of want to measure this IV curve, and then you're gonna have to decide what is the maximum power you can get out of the solar cell at this point, right? You can do a math to find out at which point, because voltage times the current is actually the power. So if people want to maximize this square, how people could do that. So this is actually, efficiency is actually decided by these field factors, and also by the another, quantum efficiency is going to be decided by the lifetime. So if I have couples, how can they travel and then reduce the loss of the during the travel. So you have in between them the couples, electrons and holes, they could be recombined. And then also electro resistance is very important. You want, people want to improve the ductility of the thin films, and also reduce the internal cost. So those are the goals of the manufacturing process. Basically you want to reduce the, see, there's a cost. Okay, so this is actually typically a diagram plotted by the annual. Then people found actually there's four type of solid cells. Here is actually this multi junction concentrators cells, and then crystalline cells, thin film solid cells, and some sort of emerging piece. So as you can see here, multi junction cells has concentrators has very high efficiency. They go up almost like 45%, and crystalline silicon solid cells is somewhere in between 20s, 30 to 20s, and the thin film solid cells like CIGS and ternary chemotoluide and amorphous silicon, they're somewhere in between. So this, they're the much lower. So the efficiency, lab efficiency, people can get a record of 20%, but that's only in the lab. In the industry, people hope to get 16%, but now it's kind of hard to achieve that. So normally in the lab, people get from here, right? So Boeing, a lot of the companies like Kodak, Boeing is trying to get this in this field. Most of this, lab, they build, cells, maybe just a few inch square. So if you want to build a large panel, there's a huge manufacturing problem. So what are the problems? So that's basically, something we want to discuss in this symposium. So the cost is actually, solid cell is not just, making it high efficiency. So you have to worry about many other things. Solid cells is type of semiconductor devices. So it's different from the, other semiconductor devices because of the quality control of the cleanliness of the surface. Not something very tricky. Something like the computer chips. The fabrication process, we hope to make a larger panel. However, we want to make it even, very low cost. So manufacturing costs could be, only including the cost of the energy required for the manufacturing, but also including the materials cost, productivity, and the low cost. People are looking for low cost the manufacturing process, right? So, initial cost is actually many of this one. People want to build the large panels if the efficiency is really low. And, for example, I want to generate 1 kilowatts. But I need one egg of panels. That's not feasible, right? So you want to make the device as high efficiency as possible. How are you going to do that? So the higher efficiency of the cells will reduce areas and also the plant cost. Installation cost and the maintenance of the solar cells is very, very high. Sometimes it's actually much higher than the materials and the manufacturing cost. So the efficiency, I believe, is a huge thing. Although people claim, 15% is actually something people are satisfied, but I don't think that's feasible. We hope that one day people can achieve 40% of thin film solar cells or crystalline type of solar cells with low cost. So that's the goal. So the goals of our, of the next generation of solar cells, people want to build a low cost and a scalable, high speed process and high efficiency. How are you going to make this happen? Let's just say how laser, let's come back to the ground. So how laser could help to facilitate the manufacturing, to lower the cost and bring up the efficiency. So first of all, let's just talk about what are the manufacturing technique, people use to, make this kind of a silicon, crystalline silicon. So that's the first type of solar cells we have discussed. So first of all, like I said, before, the previous speakers already discussed. I mean, laser could do few things. Basically, you can remove materials, you can deposit materials, you can transform materials, right? You can change the property of materials. So here is the story. So laser could be used to cut the silicon wafers and downsizing. So if you have a large panels or some sort of, you want to customize it, you want to just make a very, cut in a certain piece, then the people can do that. So this is typically, already be, existed. So, another thing is actually, laser could be used to do this edge isolation. So as we discussed before, this is a silicon single crystal of, a solar cell. So on part bottom is actually, you're going to have this kind of, aluminum, contact deposit below. On top of that, you're going to use electroplating to deposit another conductive layer. On top of that, basically you have a lot of concentrators on top of you. Basically, make the surface of the silicon devices maybe by wet etching, and after that you want to, because you form NP junctions. During the process, NP junctions are connected, right? So you're gonna have to cut it, the edge, in order to separate N from P junctions. So laser could be used to do this process to prevent recombination of the flows to the edge of the silicon wafer. So basically just cut the round of the silicon cells, right? And also you want to make a contact. You see the top surface and bottom surface. A lot of time you want to drill a hole. So this is the picture people use, lasers, nanosecond pulse the lasers to cut the holes on the top and the bottom of the silicon wafers. And also people use laser marking to basically just to write down some important characteristics, so on and so forth. And then the people use laser to fire the contact, right? And another important thing is actually you see this deep trench, they are fired by laser fired actually. So this is actually buried contact solar cell. People use the laser grooving process to drill very, very deep holes. This process, if you do it by a semiconductor process, you're going to spend a lot of money because you have to do patterning and then you have to do etching process. It's almost impossible. So I think laser grooving process has been used quite well because laser could be penetrate this very deep into the silicon. And then why people want to penetrate it so deep? Because if you only penetrate very thin layer, the electrical resistance is very high. So the deeper you penetrate, the more the electrical energy is going to be carried on. So the depth, the aspect ratio of this group is very, very important. So you once you generate a couple, you want to deliver the electrons to the electro plant. So this is actually the resistance of the electro resistance of this metallic layer is very, very important. So laser is very, very important to help on this. Another thing is actually I want to mention is actually laser could be used to help to anneal the single crystal anneal the polycrystal, because if you use the solidification process, there's a lot of crystal defect and the grain boundaries. And also if you use a roll type of process, you know, nowadays there's a lot of people still interested in the silicon-based solid cells. Why? Because it's higher efficiency. But how are you going to reduce the, how are you going to, because if you use a high single crystal of solid cell, then the cost is pretty high. And then people want to find it, just find some scratch piece of silicon. Just if people want to scratch it, I'm going to melt it and then roll it into piece. The process is actually is very, very cheap, but you bring a lot of defect. So laser could be used to anneal it and reduce the defect. And also you see this kind of N-type and P-type the junctions, and the laser could be used to fire the, you know, the previous presentation by Dr. Xin mentioned about the laser could be used to change the chemistry of the surface, right? So, I think that a lot of people use laser to help the doping of the N-type, the semiconductor materials onto the surface to make it N-type. So this is actually very, very important to, because if all this type of process, you don't need a vacuum system. And this could be done in the, in the roll-to-roll type of process. Cost is low. And laser could be also used to make a surface. This kind of anti-refraction type of surface. People use laser Dr. Xin talked about, laser could be used to pattern the surface to make it high efficiency. So very complicated 3D surface. So this is one of the example that they can help. Okay, so next I want to talk about, in the thin film solar cells, typically nowadays people want to use the thin film solar cells. Actually, as we said, they are cheap, and then you can deposit a very thin layer. And the way people deposit is actually, Dr. Xin also, mentioned about, there's a couple of layers. So this is one of the collaborative projects. So people want to do a deposit, do three things in the patterning process. Like the first layer is actually the P1. You want to remove the molybdenum for its metal contact to build the front contact. The second layer is actually semiconductor junctions, right? To build semiconductor junctions. The third layer is actually the last scrap is for the back contact, back metal contact is P3. Okay, so another application is actually, it's edge isolation. So that's just like what we did in the in silicon-based crystalline solar cells. So basically, remove the layers surrounding the panel. So the currently laser just being used on these two targets, just the laser scribing and the laser edge isolation. So not many process being used on the thin film solar cells. Okay, next I want to talk about a lot of the laser process that has been used to, in addition to laser cutting and laser welding, laser has been used to make a lot of nanostructures. So one of the big things is about laser and optical nanolithography, people use interference. So when light is actually, a photonic particle is also a wave, right? So they have a certain wavelength. So if you have the same type of wavelength, then if they are separated by beam splitter, you're gonna have to they're gonna travel a certain distance, right? And then after if these two electromagnetic waves, they are the phase is actually added to each other, and you're gonna see the waves, the electromagnetic wave is actually enhanced. And on the other hand, if you change the path of the this electromagnetic wave, they could be canceled with each other. And you also can see there's a, sometimes you can use electro light, they could cancel each other. And also in some other situations, they can interfere with each other and form nano or micro-sized rings, depending on what is the wavelength of the laser. So, one of the, things people has been discover some time ago. I think a lot of a study has been done using the laser interference nanolithography to build this kind of 2D type of structure. I would say just depends on how you manipulate the phase difference between these two lights. You can manipulate the lights to be delivered onto the target to basically to remove materials. And this is actually, another type of, the structures people basically use, four beam, instead of two beam, people use four beam to remove the materials in two directions. Then finally you got this kind of, nano array of nanoparticles. So, and also light could be, if you put in the 3D, so this multiple laser beam, they can transmit the, photosensitive polymer materials. And then in doing the interaction, they can interact and diffract it, and then they can form this kind of a 3D type of, photonic type of device. So this is diamond-like devices. And this, that also could be used to make a biomimic lenses and also, multi-scale gradient type of nanostructures. So what are the advantages? I mean, this is actually the advantage of laser process. So what can they do about the, with the solar cells? So the advantage of this process is actually, it's different from the photolithography process. It's pretty low, you have to, deposit a mask. This process, you don't need a mask, whereas, e-beam lithography process is pretty slow process. It's point by point process. So it's not a parallel type of process. Nano imprinting technology, so, it's pretty good. It's, you don't need a mask, but you still need, a die and a mold, right? So the laser interference nanolithography process is top-down lithography process, is more direct. And people recently trying to find out, can this process to be used to build random type of, of 3D nanostructures? So the challenge here is how small this kind of nanostructures could make. Is this size tunable? And also, could you build really 3D nanoscale shape? So application of the, of this kind of structures on the solar cells is actually, I think, a huge opportunity here. So, you can build anti-reflection layers, and also you can build the, nano texture surface. So to reduce the reflection, and also, basically, enhanced if integrated, quantum efficiency. Another type of, nanostructure developed in our lab is actually this type of top-down type of nanoparticle array could be built. So simply saying, it's actually you have a heated glass or whatever the substrate. And here we use the ITO glass, and then on top of that you deposit mechanical thin films or even a semiconductor thin film. On top of that, you cover that with a glass. Okay, so if you make it really, the process is really fast. So this setup is pretty straightforward. And then after this thin film is actually heated by this laser, and they could be vaporized, right? And after vaporization, have to be confined by this glass. So this confinement is actually generates a lot of condensation of these nanoparticles, and then they're going to be redeposited onto both sides. So what happens is on the ITO glass or on the substrate, you see a lot of this nanoparticles array with the exact same size. So we see the nanoparticles is very uniform. So in our study, depending on the type of materials and type of light, the wavelength of the light, the nanoparticles size is 50 nanometer. So it's very similar to some people have found long time ago, people do VRS type of nano grow black silicon. So people grow, they can make this kind of the same type of nanoparticles, like a gold nanoparticle on silicon. But that process is actually only applied for gold and silicon. This process could be applied on any type of materials as long as they can vapor, and then they can be re-solidified. So another type of process is actually, we see that recently, when we talk about solar cells, you have to have, when you have the photon electrons, you have to generate a dipole of, electrons and holes. What people found is actually silicon nanoparticles, when they are shined by one photon, they can generate two electrons. And even more. And that is going to enhance the quantum efficiency significantly. So recently, we developed, we can actually embed the nanoparticles on the surface of another type of materials. So it's actually only half embedded. So in this case, we can embed any type of materials like a silicon nanoparticles or any other kind of silicon nano, any kind other kind of materials. They could be used as a light absorbent or even anti-reflection, and they could be also used to make the surface nanostructures. Okay, so next I want to talk about another type of surface nanostructuring process, so-called laser dynamic forming. So simply saying, it's actually when you have a lot of pulse lasers to shine a thin film with, if this thin film is actually could be ablated and like a graphite, right, then this plasma is actually, the plasma density is pretty high, and then they're going to be confined by the confinements. So you're going to basically generate a high shock, right? Pressure. So this stress wave is going to be propagating through the thickness of the thin film. So if you want to generate nanoscale or microscale of 3D shape, you actually can build random 3D shape on the target by one laser pulse. So instead of in the previous process like a laser interference lithography process, there's a certain shape you can make. But here you don't have any kind of limitation. So as long as you can make the mode, then I possibly can repeat the mode. So it's like you build the macro size metal metal forming process into the nanoscale. We can apply this the same process on any kind of materials, we including the polymer metals and even semiconductor material. So this is actually we make a nanoscale of gears on top of the aluminum type of materials. So this is multi-step of grid type of structures. And this is actually we built very high aspect ratio of the V type of the shape on the on gold. Okay. So this structure is actually very high dense of this nano scale of pyramid type of structure. So this is actually could be used to enhance the photonic signals significantly. So this is actually by the similar process, we can pattern the surface of metals or even nanomembranes of like graphenes or silicon nanomembranes is very, very high dense of this kind of nanostructures by just one laser pulse at room temperature and atmosphere pressure. So this is actually a lot of nanoscale of the shape could be made. Okay. So what is the implication of this kind of surface, nanosurface? So this is actually a bridge in, this kind of nanostructures could be bridged, the photon and electron. So, so-called surface plasmon. So when the light is actually passing through the electrons onto the surface metal, the shape and the photon motion of the wave is depending on the characteristic of the metal in nanoscale. So just like you throw a stone on the piece of, on the pond. And so you see this kind of, the wave is actually propagating, right? When you're shining the photon onto a piece, onto this metallic, nanostructures, a lot of good things could happen. So this high efficiency of the solar shell, could be made by the nanostructures of metallic structure on surface. So metal nanostructure could concentrate plasmonic wave created by the sunlight. So, and also they can direct the different wavelengths of light into cells. So, this group of faculties, Professor Altwater in Caltech is actually, they, make different kind of, metallic structures to enhance the, plasma, resonance, surface plasma resonance. So, what metal surface nanostructure could be made? So they could be used to make, nanoparticles, nanotubes or nanoripples. Okay. Another type of nanostructure people in our group we have made is actually using laser to assist the electro deposition process. So typically electro deposition process is basically people will deposit amorphous type of materials, but using laser you can assist this process in several ways. So using laser you can actually direct right the nanowires and with pretty high speed, and also as a result, because of laser has a heating effect, so laser could be used to make the single crystal like of nanowires. and with pretty low defect. So with this kind of device, you have a huge opportunity to reduce the to enhance the quantum efficiency, and also you can not only you can use the same kind of these structures in solid state, but also in battery as well. So this is actually a similar type of structure people use to make a black silicon. You know, black silicon is developed by a group of professors in Harvard University. So basically, they shine the silicon wafers with femtosecond laser in the environment of a certain chemical, and then they make this kind of nanostructure. So this they're trying to market this type of product. But I would say a laser-directed writing of this nanowire structure is one of the future of the of the solar cell. So there's a group of people in Stanford, they developed the nanowire, so-called the nanowire array of solar cells. So the reason being why people want to use this type of solar cell is actually you actually one light come in, there's no way to go out. So the efficiency of this solar cells is pretty high. Okay. And this one, I think it's I don't want to spend too much time because this is very recent work I developed with Professor Yang Xin, and so you can see I just want to add a few things because this is picture we have seen Dr. Yang Xin has used a high speed of picosecond lasers to ascribe this is molybdenum, this is actually a CIS cadmium indium sulfide selenide. And you can see, the surface is pretty smooth. But when you use a high frequency of a laser, there's few things could happen. If you don't control the overlap, because if your overlap is not very good, then you're going to see this kind of ripples right here. This is not very good because the resistance is very, very high. Well, when electrons are passing through this kind of surface. So there's you need a way to optimize the frequencies, and also the shape of the beam need to be optimized. So the challenge right here is actually two things: higher repetition rate and the laser energy is higher than the threshold surface. So if you want to ultra fast second laser light is actually pretty good, but you have a few things you want to worry about. First of all, if you want to, remove very thick materials, then the laser energy is higher than the threshold influence. Then there's some long thermal, it's not a long thermal process, so it's a thermal. So materials could be melted. So when energy is higher than the threshold, you want to worry about a few things, like the vapor is actually it's going to be affecting the surrounding materials. If the pulse frequency is too high, and also thermal effect could happen. Also, the high speed scattering process could reduce the degree of the pulse overlapping and optimization. A process is needed. Another thing is actually, if you want to remove very thick layers, then that's the problem. So, of the removing, because if you are removing different type of materials with very thick structures. So, last process I want to discuss is actually a high speed of laser crystallization process. And as we discussed before, when you build a thin film type of structures, the electrons and the phonons is gonna electrons and holes they try to recombine, and also during the travel of the electrons they're gonna see a lot of this kind of crystal defect. That's gonna reduce the efficiency. So how are you gonna improve the crystalline type of structure? And so in the industry, people normally do RTA process, rapid thermal annealing process. So this is the type of process we have developed. So you basically using high speed roll to roll printing process, and after that you scan the surface with a laser to make it single crystal like. I think after we developed this process, and then we have filed two patents, and then there's a consulting companies, very big consulting companies, Lux Research, they leased our process with a couple of other labs like Enros and Zurich, Swiss, and then there's a group of people in Shanghai, and we actually heat combined the laser crystallization with many other deposition process. Hopefully, this process is actually not going to be. It's actually I would say competing with other process, but they would hopefully could help to bring up the efficiency of the other type of structures. Like, you know, if you after sputtering, after electroplating, or cold vibration or ink printing, we can use laser to fire it and then to reduce the crystal defect. Okay, so this one, I think the current problem is actually it's a high startup cost, like deposition process. You need high temperature rise, like a rapid thermal annealing process. You need high temperature rise, and you need a high vacuum type of system and low through output. So normally, you typically need a half an hour to place the wafers and then let it come out. So large area processing. So if you want to build a large panel like meters by meters, then the current crystallization process just simply doesn't work, and also its cost is pretty high. Another thing is actually because of poor, property of the, both the photoactive absorbent layers and TCO layers, the defect density cannot be reduced by the current crystallization technique. So the grain boundary is dislocation, vacancy, and this kind of inter-crystal gap that crystal defect is pretty high. And also it's not selective. So if you want to only selectively crystalline certain area, you cannot do that. So, and also, if you want to, deposit a certain layer on the low melting type of materials, you have a trouble. So what we present is actually, I'm pretty much done in about 3 minutes or 5 minutes. Okay. Okay. What we discussed right here is actually, high speed of laser crystallization process. We hopefully we can get high electro-optical property and selective low temperature on high speed process and on various type of substrate, and also low capital cost because of the cost of the laser is going to be bringing down. It's pretty low recently because of the fiber laser coming up, and then the maintenance cost is also low. So energy consumption and then efficiency of the laser is pretty high. So I think I just bypass this kind of mechanism, the physics of the saw of the laser crystallizations, and we have applied on the different kind of layers like a TCO layers, and efficiency of this of a CIGS has been improved by almost 20%, and the mobility and the electrical property like conductivity and carrier density is reduced, but the home mobility is increased to, 22. And also in the, ACO, this type of TCO layers, what people find is that we have, make a record of the mobility of the TCO, layers. And there's one company, Goodrich, they saw our papers in, published in APL. They actually are very excited, and then they compare our result with the existing TCO layers. So our carrier concentration is somewhere in the middle. The transmission of the layers is pretty high. So mobility is all because of the mobility, and also the band gap of this thin film structures could be changed by the laser crystallization. So in the summary, I just want to, talk about, first of all, the manufacturing cost of the solar cell could drop significantly. If you use a roll-to-roll type of process with fairly low cost of the, input of the, cost of the lasers and cost of the materials could be all reduced, because, simply say you're not going to use bulk materials. You're dealing with the roll-to-roll type of the deposition process, and, efficiency of the solar cell could be, improved by various of laser processing, like laser scribing, laser grooving, and the laser crystallization process. And innovative process like we have recently developed like laser high-speed picosecond laser scribing and surface nanostructuring and the nanowire type solar cells. They all could be used to improve the efficiency, like economy efficiency and resistance, reduce the loss during the transportation of the electric signals. So the future trend, I think, is going to be high efficiency of solar cells with low cost. So what are the high efficiency type of solar cells? People want to make thin film solar cells, but I would say you have to make a crystalline type of thin film solar cells. If you make amorphous, not going to just work because efficiency is quite low. And heterojunction solar cells and nanostructures type of solar cells, if you can really make it really low cost, that would be the future of the solar cells. Thank you, everybody, for your time. Sorry for the late. Okay. Thank you.